relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
As president, I have no higher duty than to defend the laws and the Constitution of the United States. That is why I am determined to protect our election system, which is now under coordinated assault and siege. For months leading up to the presidential election, we were warned that we should not declare a premature victory. We were told repeatedly that it would take weeks, if not months, to determine the winner, to count the absentee ballots, and to verify the results. My opponent was told to stay away from the election. Don't campaign. We don't need you. We've got it. This election is done. In fact, they were acting like they already knew what the outcome was going to be.
That was a clip from the president's more than 40-minute-long speech that he posted on Facebook yesterday as we aired, which he described as potentially the most important speech he will ever give. Welcome back to America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the president here on the Salem Radio Network with our regular guest, one of your top favorites. He is the Hoover Institution Senior Fellow at Stanford University, author of The Case for Trump and a fabulous book, Second World Wars. Yes, wars in the plural. None other than Victor Davis Hanson. Professor Hanson, welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me.
This speech that we saw posted yesterday, right at the end, the tone was halfway between one of his formal addresses and a rally address, but at the end it was very sincere in his declaration that if we don't get to the bottom of fraud in this election, then we have no nation left. Is that hyperbole, or do you concur with the president, Professor?
Well, if you don't have a vote that can be sanctified, authenticated, and win the trust of the majority, you don't have a nation. Nate Silver in 538 came out this week with a poll and said 6 of 10 Americans, 60% of both parties, think something went wrong in the election. So he's absolutely correct that at least until the electors are chosen, he's got to press these legitimate complaints about unconstitutional alterations in state voting laws and the discrepancies. And whether that proves that decisive, as he says, I think has to be pretty much proved or on the way to being proved by December 14th, only because at that point we get into a political, not just an ethical, moral, and legal matter. And that is, do you want to throw the whole election into the state legislature's hands to discredit one batch of electors and then pick new ones against the certifications of the state secretary of state? And that means we're back to 1824 or 1876. And if that should happen, what are the legislatures going to do in swing states? What are U.S. senators going to do? What are people going to do in Georgia at the same time we have people like Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood suggesting maybe you shouldn't vote at all? Because if we lose those two seats, everything we're talking about now is academic, because I think they will get rid of the filibuster. They will pack the court. They will have a mechanism to control all branches of government. So what he's trying to do is thread the needle between legitimate complaints that need to be investigated to reassure his supporters that their votes were sanctified, but more importantly, to be careful that if he goes beyond a certain date, the political realities, not the legal reality, but the political realities may hurt his own agenda, the Republican MAGA movement, and things in the future. And I don't know how you square all those circles, but they've got to be squared.
Let's stay on Georgia for a moment. You are, of course, a classical historian. You're an expert on matters strategic in the modern warfare age as well. What could be... I'm still struggling, having listened to that press conference, or rather it was a rally yesterday from Sidney Powell and from the lawyer Linwood. What is the strategic justification for telling Republicans not to vote in Georgia, given that it is the Senate majority that is on the line? Have you divined what that could be?
Only thing I can divine is that when Donald Trump said that Sidney Powell was speaking for herself, and he de facto distanced himself from her in favor of the Rudy Giuliani approach to challenging the legal mechanisms of altering state legislatures' voting laws. I think now what they're doing is they're saying to Donald Trump, you better incorporate us, because if you don't, we've got your base. We've hijacked your base, and we're going to tell them not to come out.
So it's a cynical maneuver.
Well, I'm not saying it's completely cynical, because they may genuinely believe that if they force Trump by hook or crook to join them again, then they will eventually win the election. But since they've alleged that there was the greatest scandal in American history transpired, but they haven't yet produced commensurate evidence beyond a reasonable doubt to change the minds of courts or legislators, then I think that the risk is greater on their part of doing damage than helping the president. That's my view.
Well, you've written the book, The Case for Trump. I've worked for him as candidate and as president. I just have a word of warning to people like Sidney Powell or Linwood who think that's possible. Trying to corner Donald Trump is never a very wise tactic. Let's look at the scenarios. Basically, there's two scenarios possible. Either there was massive fraud or there wasn't, and Biden is not only the presumptive president-elect, but he becomes the president on January 20th if the court cases fail. Or they succeed and is in 2000 at the last moment, despite having lost every other case. The Supreme Court brings a decision that provides a second term for the president. Let me ask you, in the case of the second scenario, how will the left react? Because I don't expect...
We know how they're going to react. I mean, mysteriously, after, 90 days, all of June, all of July, all of August, most of September, or I should say rather... 150 days of rioting, looting, destruction, defacement, arson. Suddenly all of that dissipated the last 10 days of the election as if there was an automatic on and off button. And the answer, of course, is that they were afraid they were offending their base in the professional suburban classes of Minneapolis or, the affluent areas around Detroit. So they stopped it. And that means that they can start it and stop it. Implicitly, the Democratic Party can, and they will start it again. And it would make that summer protest, I think, be nothing in comparison. But there is another alternative, I think, and Christian Adams outlined that, and it's even scarier to my mind, and that is that the Zuckerbergs gave $350 million to these front organizations that went into these major cities, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Detroit, and hand in glove with state registrars prepared the shock troops, the men and women in the field, the money to organize in concert with the government, even though they were supposedly tax exempt, to go to people's homes and basically same day register and have their voting. And what would have been illegal clearly before the COVID lockdown was because of alterations in state statutes was becoming legal, and they understood that. And so how do you stop that when they're going to say, well, we were just civic minded. We just wanted to help the poor and the discriminated and the victims of racism. And so we got 95% turnout. You should be happy about that because you want to participate. That's what they're saying to us. And so they're using every angle. And I think that was as deleterious as maybe these trolls were finding in inconsistencies, because it was massive. It's beyond, I mean, massive. And remember, this comes at a time when the Koch brothers, Charles Koch, has said, all the money I tried to organize for the Republicans was a waste of time. It was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I apologize for it. While the Zuckerbergs and others are saying, well, we're not, we have no apologies to make. We're going to outraise all the Koch brothers' efforts in 1 year, what you did in 15. Well, that's what you're up against.
It sounds as if you don't feel very confident for the GOP's chances in Georgia, Professor.
I am. I think it's 50-50, but it's not the GOP's chances, Seb. It's the nation's chances.
Yeah.
Because if they win, they will. I mean, I don't put much. Joe Manchin says, well, you know, I'm not going to vote to end the filibuster. But remember, he also said, I'm not going to vote to impeach the president. And he did. So I have no confidence in his word. And I think they will get rid of the filibuster. They will pack the court. They will find a way to get rid of the Electoral College. And they will start tampering with the Second and First Amendments. And I think that's going to be scary.
They may not be military enemies, but the old adage still stands. It is a wise man who listens to what his enemy says. We're talking to none other than the Hoover Institution senior fellow, classicist, military historian, Professor Victor Davis Hanson, author of The Case for Trump. Follow him right now at VD Hanson on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation on the Salem Radio Network and live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, and available on Instagram TV. Back after these messages.
I'm out here in front of Max Public House, 130 Lincoln Avenue, being raided by the Sheriff's Department, okay? This tiny little place trying to make a living, okay? 350 people on an airplane, thousands of planes, okay? This close to each other, Costco's open, Home Depot, people lined up, backed up with each other. This guy can't open his business. It's shame on you people. Shame on everybody for letting this happen. There should be 1,000 people out here right now. Well, they're getting raided by Gestapo. Tomorrow is Wednesday at 6 o'clock p.m. I want the street shut down with 10,000 people, because if we don't show up and show face, we're going to lose this whole battle. Disgusting. Should all be disgusted with yourselves. If they fear you, they won't with you. You understand what I'm saying? Get out here tomorrow night, Wednesday, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock in front of Max Public House. This is disgusting.
Do not adjust your sets. You weren't missing there. We had to beep out that rather expletive-laden video from the day before yesterday from Staten Island, from somebody who witnessed New York State Marshals. They were explicit, not the NYPD, coming to a small bar, Max Bar, to close it down and to arrest one of the co-owners, an individual called Danny Presti. And my, did they come out yesterday. As our guest was on the Tucker Carlson Show on Fox, at least 1,500 residents of New York stood outside of that bar as 25 marshals barricaded it so nobody could go in. Professor Hanson, is this a sign of something, that people are calling out their fellow Americans and they are coming to the streets?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're aware that we have a virus and you have to be careful, but they feel that their own reliance on people's own freedom to be careful is greater than trust in de Blasio or Cuomo. And how ironic that there were tens of thousands of people just a few weeks ago in the streets of New York. They were damaging property. They were stealing. They were looting. They were burning. There were very few indictments, and there were even fewer convictions, and there were even fewer incarceration. So basically, New York is saying to these bar owners, if you go out and loot and destroy things, you're not going to face legal consequences. But if you open your bar with proper social distancing, mask, among a clientele that's careful, we're not going to let you do that. You are a multinational corporation like Target or Walmart, okay, but not small business, no.
Well, also in that very trenchant point that was made by the individual who posted that video, that this is a small bar that you can choose to frequent should you wish to, but people can get on a plane, packed next to each other by the hundreds, and that's okay. Professor Hansen, we've seen in the last 10 days Democrat politician after Democrat politician, especially in your state, California, flouting the rules that they have brought for their fellow citizens on the day they bring the rules when it comes to not eating out and so forth. I came here as an immigrant from a country that is riven with a class structure, the United Kingdom, and I found a country that was surprisingly absent of a class structure, yet given the COVID virus, the Chinese virus, is it reasonable to say we have an aristocracy today and it is the politicians who make and break those rules that are the members of that aristocracy?
Yeah, but remember who they were eating with. Gavin Newsom was eating with lobbyists, and the Texas Austin mayor was flying down on a private jet, which he couldn't afford himself. So what we have is an aristocracy, but it's a nexus or a fusion with Wall Street, Silicon Valley, big tech. And what's scary about it, these are people who wear tie-dye shirts and they wear flip-flops and they're cool. So the supposed left audit and watchdog role of supposedly right-wing capitalists disappeared. So now the enemy, the enemy of capitalists are the enemy of themselves, supposedly. They are the people with all the money and all the power, and there's nobody else to watch them because they control the media and Facebook and Twitter. So it's sort of who's going to police the police. It's really scary because these are guys, if you walk down downtown Palo Alto, until they get into their Beamers or their Lexuses or their private chauffeurs, they look like they're homeless. You know, when you have Jack Dorsey come in with a ring in his nose and he looks like he's Robinson Crusoe and he's a capitalist manipulating the system, then it's pretty scary. Or Mark Zuckerberg comes in with a tie-dye shirt and he's just a good old techie, but he's worth, you know, $80 billion and he uses that money to warp an election. That's what's scary, because the New York Times is never going to go after it, neither is Washington Post.
Is it possible to identify when that happened, when the quote-unquote radicals who should have been anti-Wall Street, anti-the establishment, got in bed with the people they said they were keeping in check? Was there a moment? Yeah. Was there a time?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It was somewhere around 2008 or 9 when Facebook and Twitter and Google began to buy up all of their competitors. I think they bought out 200 or 300 companies. They got a monopoly share. They had $4 trillion market capitalization. And finally, they said to the right or the conservatives, we needed you as supporters of laissez-faire capitalism, and now we don't need you anymore. So screw you. We're going to be outwardly partisan and give our money to destroy you. And now the Republicans were like, well, we fought for you. We believed in free markets. You were the 19th century entrepreneur. We waived monopoly, we waived censorship, we waived public utility regulations just for you. And look what you did to us. So that's what happened.
So are there any watchdogs left, or is it the disparate, powerless deplorables who are left to call these people out for their own hypocrisy?
There's very little. There's talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, there's guys like you, there's ad hoc social media postings, Twitter, to the extent it's not censored. But boy, when you look at foundations, universities, the media, Hollywood, entertainment, professional sports, I don't see how the little guy has an avenue to express a traditionalist point of view. I just don't see there's a way of expressing that. That's what's scary. It's Orwellian.
Do you maintain optimism that things will right themselves, that history is cyclical, or are you more concerned for the future of the republic?
I'm very concerned because it's not like a political gyration of the past. This is something out of Orwell, where if I want to do a Google search today and there's a story that Stanford University, for example, gave the face recognition technology to the Chinese Communist government, who used it to persecute Muslims, and I run a Google search on that, it takes me I got to go through a lot of stuff to find the truth. If I want to, any argument that makes one of these institutions I just named looked embarrassing, if you want to find the truth is, as they call it, a New York Times or Washington Post, false allegations that, paranoid conspiracy theories that, and then you go down to some little website, you know, 30 pages later on Google, and you find the truth. And they're manipulating the sources of information and down memory holes and things like that. It's scary.
The ideologues of the past understood that he who can forge the past can own the future. But what we are witnessing today is, of course, the forging of the present. We've been talking to our regular guest, your favorite senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, author of The Case for Trump, Victor Davis Hanson. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka. Don't touch that dial. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than two dozen states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us, and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Carr Firearms.
What kind of Christmas would you have if you were a little child and one of your parents couldn't be there? Not a good one, I presume, but listen to the joy in the voices of these two children who have a parent incarcerated.
Spending time with my family and knowing that my dad cares. He's sending me all these gifts. Thanks to you, and I really like to thank you for it.
I like the presents that my dad sent me. I know that you guys care and he cares, so I just want to thank you for that, and I love Christmas.
Thank you, Angel Tree, for doing all that you do, because you don't have to do this, but you choose to do it, and I really appreciate it.
That's the amazing Quentin and Alyssa, who are so happy. Why? Because of people like you, who have donated enough that more than 1,000 children in America who are missing their parent this Christmas will get a gift and a children's Bible and a note of love and hope from their parent. That's what the Angel Tree program does through the Prison Fellowship. Will you donate today? $22 gets one of these children a present, that Bible, and organizes that note from their mother or father behind bars. Just please go to my website today, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner. You can call Prison Fellowship directly as well on 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794, or just go to SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner. You will be bringing a ray of light and a little bit better Christmas to one of the 2.5 million children in that awful position here in America. We are back, broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios, sharing with you, the president's potentially monumental speech yesterday on keeping up the fight and making sure that this election isn't stolen is all the more important because of the evidence released just today. The video we have posted that is going viral on Twitter, on Facebook, in Georgia, of poll workers escorting observers out of the polling station and then pulling out four suitcases of ballots privately to steal the election. It gives the president's words from yesterday all the more relevance. This is his comment on the, I don't know, is he alleged? Is he putative? Attorney General William Barr. Video cut six, play cuts.
Mr. President, can I ask you to respond to the comments by your Attorney General who indicated he has not seen at this point any evidence of fraud enough to overturn the election results? Given that, why is now not the time to concede?
Well, he hasn't done anything, so he hasn't looked. When he looks, he'll see the kind of evidence that right now you're seeing in the Georgia Senate. You know, they're going through hearings right now in Georgia, and they're finding tremendous volumes. So they haven't looked very hard, which is a disappointment, to be honest with you, because it's massive fraud.
One correction, that was at the coronavirus briefing, not during the speech, but the point is still the same. He hasn't done anything. And as the video shows today, we have the evidence. So what's it going to take, Attorney General Barr? I can't wait for his next statement. Unless, of course, I don't know, he resigns. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Alexa, line three, California. Welcome to America First.
Well, hi. It's Alexis.
Alexis!
Yes. So, I love your particular show because you always give me good news. It cheers me up every time. Actually, you're on my wake-up call. So.
Good.
I was listening to Judy, and I've been calling the vaccine, coincidentally, Trump vaccine, since his since our president had started the whole process.
Good. I love it.
And my emails to even my Dem friends, they're still my friends, I will tell them they can thank Trump for the vaccine. I make
yes.
sure of that, and not Bumble Biden.
Bumble you Biden, know? That's good too. Trump vaccine and Bumble Biden.
Yes, because he's always bumbling, you know. He's tripping, falling, bubbling with his speech and everything else. So I just call him Bumble Biden. And I've been protesting every week. And my homemade sign says, no foreign ballot counting, no to Dominion, no to Smartmatic. And I've been telling everybody about the Corona Del Mar protest one, too, wherever I go.
Yeah, it's an absolute outrage. Thank you for your kind words, Alexis. Anything to do with our elections here in America is in involving foreign powers or foreign companies. The idea that the only nation on God's earth that put men on the moon has to have a company connected to Venezuela tabulate our ballots and count them in German or Spanish data centers, it's an outrage and it has to stop. Thank you. We'll take more of your calls on 833-33-GORKA here on America First. Broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Wow. You deserve to find out if Relief Factor works for you like it works for Reggie, me, and thousands of your fellow Americans. And it's so easy. All you have to do is go to ReliefFactor.com and order the 3-week quick starter pack. Call them on 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. What have you got to lose? Except your pain. Do it now. ReliefFactor.com.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. You like James Bond, right? If you listen to this show, you like James Bond. What's his weapon of choice? Walther PPK. But what's wrong with the Walther PPK? Nothing, I hear you cry. Well, it's a little heavy, and it does have hammer bite. I've just had mine customized to remove that hammer bite. But you know what somebody called Justin Moon did 25 years ago? His family came here as immigrants, and he said, I want to make Americans a portable 9mm handgun that's better than the PPK. He designed it, and it is an absolute game changer. The K9 design that I carry myself, and I'm so excited to have met Mr. Moon at SHOT Show earlier this year. His company, Car Arms, is a US-based firearms manufacturer who's in it to fight for America, just like we are here at America First. Car makes patented, high-quality pocket pistols at the best prices. Visit kahr.com to find the perfect concealed carry weapon for you. That's kahr.com. I did, and I didn't regret it. Okay, let's... Do we have something that we need to play? I think we have... oh, my gosh. He's at it again. Why can't he just go and build his library? There is a former senator from Illinois called Barack Obama, who must be a beta male, because now he's insulting black men who are alpha males. Because that's the only reason they voted for Donald Trump, clearly. Let's listen to Barack. He was President Obama.
Black men in particular. Obviously saw some big name rappers come out for Trump. What's going on there in your mind? Why have those numbers moved a little bit?
Well, look, I think men generally are more susceptible to public figures who act tough, sort of a stereotypical macho style. I don't think black men are immune to that any more than white or Hispanic men are. A lot of the values of popular culture are constantly extolling wealth, power, frankly, greed. Not thinking about other people because you're so ruthless that you're just looking out for yourself. If there are some in the hip-hop community who are constantly rapping about bling and depicting women in a certain way, and then they hear Donald Trump basically delivering the same version of it.
Yeah, that's why they voted for him. And by the way, did you hear what the person running the podcast said? Yeah, there was a little move for Donald Trump in the black community. No, you liar, you propagandist. The largest minority Hispanic and black support for any Republican since the 1960s. That's how much they lie to you. Let's go to your calls, 833-33-GORKA. Tom, line one in Ohio. Welcome, Tom, to America First.
Hi, Dr. Gorka. You're the man.
Oh, I hope I'm at least a man, but carry on.
Hey, I want to talk to you about the Electoral College and the fact that if this election were to get there, that people need to know that one senator and one congressman can object to these electorals from these disputed states, and that can stop those electors from being assigned. And in that case, you know, we could stop three of these states, and that would take care of this if it got to that.
Hang on a second, Tom. What are you basing that on? That one state senator could stop it?
No, the members of the Electoral Commission, I'm sorry, when it goes to the House, there's members of Electoral Commission, and if one, I read this, and I think it's right, if one senator and one congressman that are members of that commission object to the electors from a particular state, then they have to recess and go into a conference to try to work that out. And if they can't, then those electors don't get assigned.
Are you talking about senators or congressmen in D.C.?
Yes.
All right. I need the reference for that. Stay on the line, Tom, because I've never heard that before, and I'm not sure that's how it works, because as the Constitution dictates, it is each state that runs the election. And when it comes especially to a contingent election, the Senate has no role to play at all. But I'm not sure when it comes to this so-called commission. So, Tom, stay on the line. I need you to talk to our producer, Mr. G, because we want to give you the facts. We want to know exactly where you got that from, and then we will check it out for ourselves. But it's intriguing. Let's go to Tim on the similar issue. Jacksonville, line two. Welcome, Tim.
good day, my fellow macho Americans.
I like that, macho Americans. I think there's a song about that. Carry on. What's your question,
yeah,
Tim?
About that. Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that anyone, okay, Republican, Democrat, I don't care who you are, if you're willing to accept this election as it stands right now, do not ever, ever, ever again be upset when someone looks in your face and lies to you or steals from you, because that is exactly what is going on in this country right now.
Yeah.
These people, these elected officials are lying, and they're attempting to steal our God-given American right to vote and make the decisions ourselves. Don't be upset when someone looks in your face and you know they're lying to you and you know they stole from you, because you have no right if you're willing to accept this.
You're absolutely right, Tim. What they're doing right now is they're looking you in the... Well, actually, they're not. They're probably not even brave enough to do that. They're kind of squinting into the corner as they're lying to you verbally as they're trying to steal the election. That's exactly what they're what's happening right now. But let's not talk about in the future. Don't complain. We have to make sure it simply doesn't happen, especially after the blockbuster game-changing evidence. It's all over the internet right now. You've got to go and see it on my Twitter feed, Seb Gorka, on my Facebook page, Sebastian Gorka. I even put a screenshot on my Instagram account. It's the evidence from Georgia of election officials pulling out suitcases of ballots from underneath a table, hidden there until the observers had been ushered out of the room so that they could steal the election. And if you know, it was four suitcases in one room, it was hundreds and thousands across America, and they can't be allowed to get away with it. All right, we will continue our discussion. We're going to have Mike Lindell with us in the next hour. We're going to have Buck Sexton and the Baron here on America First. But if you're calling in, please don't call us on a cell phone with one of those big mobile carriers, because they're not on your side. They're not on America's side. Go with the only Christian conservative cell phone company, Patriot Mobile, and especially right now as they celebrate the time of giving. It's called the Gift to Give program that will provide you, if you switch, two free Samsung A11 phones. You can keep your old numbers. They are experts in transferring your number. And guess what? They are rated number one in customer service in the United States, and for good reason, because they're on your side. They donate to Second Amendment and First Amendment causes. They're pro-life, and they support the things that you care about, and that's reason enough. Call them today for these incredible deals. Use my name, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Make the switch today and celebrate the Gift to Give campaign. PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. That's PatriotMobile.com/GORKA. 972 Patriots.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Now, a short while ago, the president released what is essentially a propaganda video on Facebook repeating some of the same lies he and his team have told about the election results since November 3rd. We are not showing you any excerpts from that video because the allegations made by the president have been rejected in the courts, as well as by state election officials from both parties, not to mention his own attorney general. The video, we should mention, it looks like it was produced here on the White House grounds, but that was away from the press. Wolf, journalists were not in the room when the president recorded that video.
We're not showing a video from the White House from the man elected by 63 million Americans who just got another 74 million to vote for him because it's propaganda. And that's on CNN is calling something else propaganda. I'm sorry, give that man a Grammy. What's the comedy equivalent of an Oscar? Because Abilio Jim Acosta, the man who is ashamed of his Hispanic Cuban heritage, who hides the fact that on his birth certificate, his name is Abilio, is accusing anybody of being a propagandist. Dude, you are so funny. You have to laugh, because otherwise you realize what? That is straight out of Pyongyang. That is North Korean-level propaganda. We are not going to show you what the elected president of the United States is saying because... Well, because we're CNN, and we get to decide what you see. Because the truth could be detrimental to the future of our company, perhaps. And my bottom line... You are so a joke, Abilio. I find you risible, and you'd need to look that up in a dictionary, because you are so, so an imbecile. You are funny, but also ignorant. That is a dangerous combination, but America sees through you. You are the arch propagandist. I can think of nobody worse. Wolf doesn't have the brain cells. You are no wise man, but you understand that you are on a mission that is political. You are an activist. You are a shill. You are a tool of the Democrat Party. And that's why nobody watches CNN. 600,000 viewers in a nation of 330 million? And you have to pay? CNN has to pay airports to broadcast your show? That's how bad you are. And America is laughing in your face. Oh, do write this one up, please, Media Matters. I do appreciate it. Back with Mike Lindell.